Hi, I'm Melanie. I'm an alcoholic. And I hate speaking. I was going to leave AA because of this, but I'm still here. My sobriety date is August 17th of 2008. I have a home group, and I have a sponsor who's here, and I sponsor others. I'm from St. Pete. I have an older sister who's here and a twin brother who's here. We're all sober. A family full of alcoholics from the grandparents on. Pretty dysfunctional, but that's not what makes me an alcoholic. I'm an alcoholic because I don't know how to deal with life. And from a very young age, I felt like that. I felt separate from everybody. And I didn't feel as good as or pretty and all that good stuff. But we moved around a lot, and I had a twin brother who was really outgoing, and he made friends with everybody. And so I always had, you know, the padding there, the class clown. I can remember the first time I had a drink, and that was I found a warm beer in the woods, and I wanted to be drunk really bad, and I wrote in my diary that I think I almost got drunk. So the first time that I ever really, really seriously got drunk, I was at a party, and we were drinking all those red Solo cups, and I had drank like 6 cups of Bacardi, and I was completely wasted, belligerent, got kicked out of the party. But I felt great. I felt, you know, this is how I drank every time. I never drank like a lady. I never ever had a social drink. I drank to get completely wasted, and I felt, you know, confident and all that kind of stuff. And you know, I just, that's the way I drank, and I got into a lot of trouble because of it. Our dad passed away when I was a freshman, and I used that as an excuse to quit school. And we didn't have a whole lot of supervision anyway, so we kind of did whatever we wanted, and we were hanging out with 21-year-olds when we're like 12 and drinking and doing all that stuff. And I had started going to Ebor and things like that, and had fake IDs and all that good stuff. So started just drinking the way I wanted to, and I I wrecked every single one of my cars. I pretty much totaled them, and I never really got hurt. And you know, I started getting pretty angry when I drank, and at first it would be fun, and then I would get nasty, and then I'd start fighting, and I would not be sugar and spice and everything nice. I would just out of nowhere, it'd just be like a change, and I'd flip out. And because of that, like, we were out in Ebor, and some of my guy friends were out there, and they got into a fight because they were just starting trouble. And the cops came, and they started beating them up, so I thought that they needed some help. So I got battery on a law enforcement officer. And I you know, I just did crazy things. I did things I would never, ever do, and I was really proud of that, too. But I'm not proud of it anymore. I got it expunged, actually. So it was just crazy, and you know, we didn't get in trouble for anything that we did. You know, it was just kind of here, there, everywhere. And you know, my sister, I don't know if it was my sister or my uncle who got sober first, but there definitely somebody got sober. And when she was 21, actually. And I remember her going to those meetings, and then soon after, my mom, who I never, ever, ever thought would get sober, she got sober. And they would try to get me to go to these meetings, and I was terrified of all you people, and the holding the hands and saying the prayers and the chanting and all that stuff. It was just weird. And they brought me to the San Martin group in St. Pete. It's a 12-step group, and it's gross, and they smoke in there, and it's all old people. And I'm like 17 or 18, and I'm just like, this is not for me at all. I mean, I didn't identify with anything. I just compared, and I wanted nothing to do with it. So I didn't have anything to do with it for a while until I needed to come back, till I had lost all those things that those people had talked about. And you know, by the time I was 26, all of those things happened and more. The pitiful, incomprehensible demoralization, we all know how that feels. It's, you know, you just wake up cringing, thinking about the stuff that you did the night before. You know, I tried to backing it up a little bit. I tried to do this program, the Melanie program. I was just like going to quit everything and be fine and go to work and live at my mom's house and be fine. And I stayed away from everybody, and I was just crazy as crazy can be. And that got old, and started hanging out with the same old people, whatever. And within 2 weeks, I had like wrecked 2 cars and a DUI and a possession charge. And all while I was supposed to be dog sitting for my boss and his wife. So the gig was up. And, you know, I just, I had like my spiritual awakening in jail that night or morning or whenever it was. I just kind of knew like I was going to die or end up killing somebody or, you know, just end up in a lot of trouble. And so, you know, it was just kind of like everything's got to change. And I felt kind of like a weird calm come over me. And I was probably still like on the stuff that I was on and a little bit chilling and halfway awake and all that. But something happened, and I don't know what. And I think my sister called me, or I just said, like, let's go to a meeting. And those, it just really surprised me that those words came out of my mouth. And I went, and I picked up a white chip, and I shared in that meeting, and I was terrified, and I just said, like, I needed help. And so I picked up white chips at every meeting that I went to for the first week, so people knew that I was new and I needed help. And I got a sponsor. Well, actually, she got me, which was a real big relief. I was afraid to ask somebody. I was like, God, I need a sponsor, but I don't know what to do. So she came up to me, and, you know, she said, I'll sponsor you. And she shared some of her story, and we had a whole lot in common. And you know, she gave me some suggestions. She said, you know, you need to pray in the morning and at night on your knees no matter what. And I was just like, okay. And she's like, read page 86 on the big book and call me and, you know, all these things. And I felt relief. I felt like I had somebody, you know, kind of guiding me and giving me some direction because, you know, what I had been doing hadn't been working. And you know, I got right in the middle of the boat, and people that I was surrounded with in my fellowship were involved in service, so I got involved in service. I got to sponsor some people. I still do have the privilege of doing that. You know, I met a guy when I was 2 years sober, and we're getting married in a couple of months, and having a baby. And he's the one that begged me to come up here, so thank you. But, you know, if you would have asked me what I would have wanted when I got sober, I would have cut myself short. One of the other big, huge, humongous things why I'm still here, why I'm still sober, is my relationship with my higher power. I got to, you know, write that conception of what I wanted my higher power to be. And, you know, it's like what everybody else wants, a loving, understanding God. And I thought that I wasn't good enough for a relationship like that. And that was a lie that I told myself. I don't know where I came up with that, but I had all kinds of wrong ideas. And, you know, today I wake up with peace and serenity in my life. I'm not in constant fear, worry. I'm not worried about the lie that I told yesterday and the things that I did and the cops showing up at my house and having to flip through mugshots to identify people. I'm not worried about not passing drug tests or following probation. Like, you know, life is pretty good today. I have a job, I got a fiance, 2 cats, a dog. And you know, it's really good, and it's all because of this program, and I'm so grateful to be here. Thank you.